Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because, well, we have this on the line from the ARC Institute, Jerry Guidetti. And we're going to be talking about, well, what are we going to be talking about today, Jerry?
Bird flu, and what you need to think about in terms of your life support system.
All right, fine. And, of course, there has been a tremendous amount of information coming out here recently about this disease that so far has killed 66 people, but the government keeps telling us that there is going to be a global pandemic, not if but when, and they have actually been engineering all sorts of deadly new influenza viruses using this H5N1. Why would you do something like that? Why would you go and dig up the dead bodies so you can get the virus that has been dead for and out of circulation since 1918 and 1919 and bring it down and make it more virulent? Why would you do something like that? And then why would the president be talking about the necessity of using military troops to control the people in this country? What are they up to? Well, let's get your thoughts on it, Jerry.
Sure. First of all, why did they dig up from the permafrost in Alaska one woman's body, and we also had under military control, actually, tissues in formalin preserved in Air Force warehouses, I believe it was, from the 1918 pandemic. We had some preserved lung tissues. But the permafrost sample dug up the grave with the permission of the local folks up there in Alaska. It was a mass grave, by the way, that they just kind of shoveled bodies into, and they took one woman out, and they got her lung tissue. And what they did was, under very, very careful dissection and so on, they took a sample of the 1918 flu virus, and they began to do a molecular analysis of its, well, the entire thing, the whole virus, all eight genes, what the sequences were, and so on, and they just recently finished it. The reason they did it was because they suspected that that virus might be related to the one that we're currently seeing changing, mutating as we speak around the world, that is becoming more deadly by the day, perhaps by the hour. And they wanted to know, okay, if we have a jump on this, if we could see what it is that makes a virus so deadly, if we could see what in the genes is the most critical component or the most critical components, what sequences are important, maybe we can begin to manufacture something against it, maybe to preempt this one from coming, or to get a better handle on whether or not it's as dangerous as we think it is.
But what happens if it gets out of the laboratory?
Well, you and I are scared about that, too. And this is taking place in Atlanta, Georgia. It's at the CDC. They're using Level 4 lab. Many scientists are against it. They say that it's almost inevitable that the thing gets out. But here's the thing. Because that version has been around before, the body has seen it. We do have some experience with it. There are claims out there from the science journals that say that if it got out right now, it wouldn't pose a threat because we have already been exposed to that particular one. But go ahead.
But of course, we weren't around in 1918, so I wouldn't have any immunity to that.
Wouldn't personally have any immunity, but what happens is the human body changes or evolves in order to be able to manage it better. But that's a whole different story. The molecular biology changes what we do, what we did find out this week, what we have seen.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Jerry Guidetti here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest this afternoon is Jerry Guidetti of the Arc Institute, and of course she's been in genetic engineering and genetic science for many years, and Jerry is talking about the avian flu epidemic, which there's been so much propaganda going out here in the last few weeks. Of course, it's been going out over a period of months, but almost reaching a crescendo over this last week as people increasingly have their attention focused on the threat of bird flu. And Jerry was saying that just this last week, the information has come out. As you recall, they sent the scientists up to the permafrost, and whether it was in Scandinavia or whether it was in the Arctic, somewhere above the Arctic Circle,
they
dug up some of the bodies, or at least the bodies of one person, identified the virus. They've been bringing this deadly virus down here to reconstitute it and to determine its molecular structure. And what have they determined, Jerry?
All righty. First of all, to their surprise, what they determined was it was avian. It came from birds.
Now, was it the same H5N1?
No, it's not H5N1.
All right, what is it?
No, a whole different. As a matter of fact, I don't have them in the tip of my brain. I think it's an H3N2, but I'm not sure, so I'm not going to say that. Don't hold me to it, Stan. The hemagglutinin and neuraminidase were different.
All right.
Okay? They weren't H5N1, but what was critical is it was avian.
All right, it was avian flu.
It was avian, all right, and just like this one is. It also had 10 mutations in it that were not the result of reassortment, and that is a key, critical piece of information. Reassortment involves the actual, it's a mutation that occurs when actual whole genes exchange between viruses inside your body. So if you had an avian influenza inside you or inside a pig, and you also had a human influenza, and they traded a gene between the two of them, then you end up with a so-called mutation, but it would be caused by reassortment. Well, this one did not reassort. This one just changed its sequences. And Dr. Nyman has been saying all along that it undergoes recombination, where portions of genes change so that you only have a change of one or two amino acids, parts of proteins. You don't have changes in whole genes. Well, as it turned out, that's exactly what they discovered. There were 10 changes. And the saddest thing of all in their discovery was that 5 of those mutations that made it possible for it to infect humans have already occurred in H5N1. They're already in place. Now, the experiments they're doing are designed, and I give it to you that they're risky. There's no doubt about it. But the experiments are designed.
Hold that thought right
sure.
there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Jerry Guidetti, and she says that they have determined now, as they begin to decode the genetic sequences within the Spanish flu of 1918-1919, that there is within this avian flu virus certainly changes that actually made it come from an avian influenza. And there was an avian influenza in 1918 that moderated itself or changed itself or mutated itself so it could infect human beings. And then she said that now they're looking at the H5N1 and they're finding that it has had about half of those mutations already, so that it can go from the avian, from the birds, to human beings. So pick up the story there.
That's correct. And the other interesting thing that came out of that research is we have had 3 pandemics in the last century. The 1918 was the worst. We had one moderate one, and then we had one mild one. 1968 was the last one, I believe. And what we wanted to know was, why is it that those pandemics were so mild by comparison to the 1918? Well, we did the assessment of that genetic material and found out that they were not avian in origin. They were human in origin with some avian mutations in them. And so that's why. Those were mild and moderate. What they came up with, and this came just out yesterday in the Journal Science, and what was the other one? I'll think of it in a minute. At any rate, the 2 journals came out with it yesterday. And what it means is this H5N1 is far more dangerous than they originally had hoped. It has the potential that the 1918 pandemic organism or virus had, because of the humanizing, they call it humanizing, when you get these mutations that make it possible for going efficiently from human to human. Those are mutations in an avian virus, just like the ones in 1918 were humanizing sequences or RNA sequences, nucleotide sequences in the 1918 influenza.
In other words, you had an avian influenza.
You had both times.
Now could infect human beings.
Absolutely.
And we're beginning to see the same thing in the current one, right?
And now what's happening is, the reason you're hearing so much right now, and I will grant you that it's amazing how the dialogue has gotten so loud over the past couple of weeks, and it's emanating right from the White House. I think it's possible there are two reasons. One, because they're scared to death, because we did such a lousy job. This administration has done nothing to prepare for this. They were aware of it. They were told about this. Even Tommy Thompson, who wasn't my favorite health agency director, even Tommy Thompson told the administration, everyone has been telling the administration, that this thing is coming, that we have the potential for a pandemic and so on. Well, here we are, literally caught with our pants down. We are way down on the bottom of the list for any Tamiflu. We are suddenly calling a summit today on avian influenza at the White House. The pharmaceuticals CEOs are going to be meet. They're talking about doing a crash program to try to find a way to ramp up our ability to make vaccine once we know what the pandemic organism is going to look like. Also to ramp up our production of antiviral medicines. And 65 nations are at the are in Washington today meeting to determine how we're going to handle the avian flu pandemic. This has to be a coordinated global attempt to stop it. And I think the other reason is because right now in Indonesia, and I told you about it I think last week, in Indonesia, it is traveling quickly from chicken into humans. I think we have now 89 cases of bird flu in Indonesia. We have up to 6 dead. That sounds low, but keep in mind that it takes a while to die, and they're doing a whole lot of intervention here. Yes, we have today 89 cases of bird flu in Indonesia. It has now gone to 9 provinces. Jakarta has 45 cases, Banten 13 cases, West Java 10, Central Java 3. It goes on and on. The folks there live very intimately with their birds. It's kind of like the way we live with dogs and cats. They idolize birds. While they're in the streets, the children play with them. They have doves in their homes. There's a strong Muslim population. I understand Muslim folks really love to have beautiful doves in their homes, birds of peace. These folks live intimately with the chickens. Well, H5N1, as you know, we've talked about it before, is on the wings of wild birds, oftentimes not affecting the wild birds, although now it is beginning to kill wild birds as well, but they are transmitting it to poultry, especially poultry that's raised outdoors. And then folks are very intimately involved with chickens. It's making that leap faster, and also it goes into pigs. Pigs are kind of a mixing vessel, because pigs get infected with human influenza, and they can get infected with avian influenza, and then inside you do these humanizing recombinations.
In other words, what you're saying, that is, the pigs then become sort of a breeding ground for this altered virus.
That's correct. And so do humans. If we get regular flu during this flu season, which is why there's a push to get everybody get flu vaccine, because if you get the regular flu and then you get infected with avian influenza, not only are you going to be deathly, deathly sick, but the potential for the two influenzas to recombine or reassort within you, creating yet another beast, is way high, and that almost assures that the pandemic strain is going to be sooner than later. That may already be occurring in Indonesia. I do believe that that is why the increasing panic, and I need to tell you, there are many scientists who are panicky about it. And
well, they've been reading too much on the internet. Well, Terry, are you suggesting that we should all take the influenza vaccine? I have never taken the influenza vaccine, because of course it has thimerosal in it, which is You know, and we know the relationship between thimerosal and Alzheimer's disease, so why would we want to take the influenza vaccine? And can we really trust the government not to put something into the vaccine if they offer it to us? We know what they've done to the people in Kenya and in the Philippines, putting contraceptive substances in there. Can we really trust the World Health Organization?
Well, first of all, it's not going to be produced by the World Health Organization. It will be produced here in the United States, if we're going to produce vaccine at all for this thing. And please believe me, Dr. Stan, we have years before we see this vaccine. Okay, so this is really moot. We are looking at a crash program. Once the pandemic strain evolves, and we're not sure it's there yet, as a matter of fact, we're probably a mutation or so away. They hope to do the genetic engineering experiments to find out which of the remaining five are the most critical of those sequences that made the 1918 so horrible, so that if we see that one arise in H5N1, it'll be the biggest red flag. Everybody will hit the big red panic button, and they'll say, that's it, close the borders, shut down the planes, the whole bit, because it has arisen. So that's what they're doing at this moment. But going back to vaccine, I mean, I'm going to tell you personally, okay, I used to get pneumonia every single year because I've had allergies, severe allergies all my life. So I got pneumonia every single year because the flu came through, I'd get it. I started taking influenza vaccine about 15 years ago. I have not had pneumonia once. Reason is, I don't get flu anymore. Now, in my case, I would be dead if I had not taken the flu vaccine. Plain and simple, I would be dead. I'm considered high risk. I get it all the time, and I am not 65 years old. But there are people like me everywhere, and there are other people who get deathly ill of flu who take the vaccine with absolutely no problem. I want to ask you a question because I don't know the answer to this, and I know you're an expert on understanding these vaccines. Can you tell me how much mercury is in each individual flu shot in that amount of thimerosal?
Well, I can tell you that for the six-month-old children, that they're telling to take it about 25 times the maximum allowable dose. And,
okay,
of course, we know from the studies done by Dr. Fudenberg, the dean of vaccinologists, that if you were to take the flu vaccine, and you were between 60 and 65, you took 3 to 4 shots over a five-year period, 10 years down the line, your incidence of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%.
Wow.
And for anybody who wants to doubt that, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a copy of the page from Dr. Fudenberg's website, and certainly a man whose credentials are certainly unparalleled. So, I still have my mental facilities, and I know an awful lot of my friends who took the flu vaccine don't. So,
yes, and so far I think I have.
Well, I think you're doing fine, Jared. You're not to that 60, 65 time yet.
No. I'm not quite up there yet. No.
But I'm very, very concerned about the use of thimerosal and mercury in that. But my concern is, why in heaven's name, are we doing these experiments in the laboratory? Because they can always justify this in the name of science, but they learned how to weaponize anthrax, and then suddenly somebody got it out of our laboratories because it was our strain, and it was sent to 2 United States senators. It was sent to a number of people, and I think 5 or 6 people died of a weaponized form of anthrax that was produced, obviously, this wasn't produced by Muhammad Atta or by Osama bin Laden.
Right.
This was a highly specialized, weaponized form that could be transmitted, by aerosol. Are we perhaps really working with something that may have disastrous consequences?
Oh, absolutely.
And look what we're doing with genetic foods, and I know you're an expert on that. And if they will, do what they've done with the genetic foods and alter the genetic makeup of corn and soybeans and canola and cotton, and then, of course, we are taking all of these various oils. We don't even know where they are, but we're not allowed to know. And yet all of these have potentially dangerous consequences. Can we really trust what they're doing as far as their genetically engineering of new viruses? We'll be back in just a moment here with Jerry Guidetti talking more about what's going on today. But I share her concern. I think some very, very dangerous things are about to occur.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea. Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened with Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Jerry Guidetti, and Jerry is talking about what is happening as far as the avian flu epidemic is concerned. And I have never seen as much material being put out, you know, to create certainly a feeling of unrest in the parts of the people. And there may very well be a danger. What really bothers me is, why is our government digging up, you know, these dangerous other viruses? And are they really being secured? No, they're not being preserved. In fact, there is certain, they're doing experiments on some of these influenza epidemics, not in class 4, you know, laboratories, but in class 3 laboratories, where you do not have all the security. Now, that may not be the Spanish flu of 1918, but in other viruses, and you know, we know that the anthrax weaponized anthrax got out, Can we really trust them to continue doing this sort of thing? So
well,
pick up the story there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, and I am really going to try to stay on task here myself because there's so much happening right now. But we just had another outbreak on September 25th. It was just, the information was just released on October 3rd or October 2nd from SIDRAP, and that is that we had tularemia, the bacterial weaponized material, the one that's been used in bioweapons research and so on, but occurs naturally as well. We had tularemia ring off on 6 bioterrorism sensors on the Mall in Washington, D.C. on September 25th and 26th.
How did that get there?
Okay, and it happened on the same day that you had the big demonstration going on, the anti-war demonstration down there on the Mall. Okay, how about today, it was just disclosed that it took them 5 days before they reported it to CDC.
Now, of course, did anybody get ill, though, from the...
The first cases would have appeared approximately 2 days ago. Question is, the fact is, if you're not telling physicians across this country to begin to look for symptoms of tularemia, the average physician is not tuned into tularemia symptoms. They misdiagnose it.
Oh, yeah, the last thing I would think of would be tularemia. I've never seen a case.
Absolutely. I know of a person who had a case in Texas, and it's very hard to diagnose when people aren't used to looking for it. Now, here's the good news. The good news is it doesn't go person to person. It goes from the air into the lungs, or it goes through the skin or into the eyes and so on. But it was in the air. And so much for our homeland security, so much for our defense system. It took them 5 days to report to the CDC, and heads are rolling about that. With respect to all of the barrage of coverage we have, The administration has been told for, well, years now, we've known about H5N1 since 2003. They have been told that there was this potential for this avian influenza to make the jump to humans. It happened. They continued to not do anything about it, not stock Tamiflu. We are near the bottom of the list in terms of nations trying to get Tamiflu. We only have enough for 1% of our population, when Britain has enough for 33%, and New Zealand is looking at 40 to 50%, and so on. We are in such poor shape. So now, after Katrina, after looking at the suffering Katrina, and you're having public health officials, such as Dr. Osterholm, saying that this would be 1,000 Katrinas, and it would happen in every single state almost simultaneously, he's got somebody's attention now. Because Indonesia is blowing up and so on, in terms of watching this go ever more into humans and mutate by the day, by the hour of the day. And we have the potential of waking up tomorrow morning finding out it's in San Francisco or in Los Angeles or in New York, because somebody came in from Indonesia and they are carrying the form that has become more efficient. Now, our president, of course, the administration is under siege. Karl Rove is being called before the grand jury again. Senator Frist is under investigation.
Rove is under investigation. For lying about putting out
Informant.
The information on Valerie Plume, right?
Right. So the point is this administration is under siege. A lot of people are not happy. They're not even happy about the choice for the Supreme Court nomination of President Bush's personal lawyer who had no judging experience.
That almost seems like a case of incest when you hire your own lawyer.
Well put.
Okay.
Well put, I think so. So, if you have, suddenly you're looking very presidential, and I don't want to belittle the fact that they're finally trying to get some preparation here. They're trying to get the U.S. up to speed. But if you're looking suddenly presidential by doing all of this stuff on this great imminent threat, surely the press, the mainline headlines have been the bird flu. CNN has been covering it incessantly. ABC put out maybe a billion will die last night. On and on it goes. It is headline news, and all the reporters are just jumping all over it. And what's going down to page 2 and page 3? All of the problems with an administration under siege. Now, I am not suggesting that is the reason for it, but it is convenient at this point, or it is effective at this point, to direct or redirect our attention.
All right, and I would just point out, when they talk about a billion people dying, that ought to get people's attention.
I'll tell you about that, yeah.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Jerry Guidetti of the ARC Institute, and I don't know what all this means. I will tell you, though, that I am concerned that something is going to happen. I believe that, we are going to see not only increasing chaos and crisis here in the United States, both financially and morally and politically and perhaps even militarily, because the president is talking about bringing in the military in case something should happen. And even the military says, look, we're not trained for this. I mean, the purpose of the military is to kill people in combat, and he wants, of course, to use them against the American people in total violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. And he said this several times in the last week, and I think everybody should be concerned. But I think the one thing that we should know is that perhaps something big is afoot, and people need to begin making preparations to look after themselves, because as the people, certainly in New Orleans found, is you can't look to the government for help. Now, we're going to be doing a program next week with people who are in Mississippi, and you're going to find, that their things have worked pretty fairly well, but it wasn't the federal government and the federal troops and FEMA that did it. It was the National Guard and the local support organizations, and yes, FEMA and the other organizations did come in, but we're going to have to be self-reliant. And this is what we hope people are going to start thinking about. And so why don't you pick up the story from there, Jerry?
Sure. I have spoken to public health officials, high-level public health officials, very ethical and moral people, who are of the opinion that we have a very high probability of having this happen. Mike Leavitt, by the way, Department of Health and Human Services, just a few days ago said that this is going to be devastating, catastrophic, and so on. Today he was backpedaling, saying we have only a very slim chance Scientists are just outraged about this because they feel this is imminent. As a matter of fact, Julie Gebberding, Dr. Gebberding down at CDC says it is imminent, it is happening. Well, what's very important for everybody to understand is that the top minds, the top health officials on this all agree on one thing, and that is that you need to be able to prepare at the community and at the personal level, and that this is the message that's not yet going out. Now, I do know that the Bush administration is planning a meeting at the White House. I believe the date is October 13th. It's going to be a conference, not at the White House, in D.C. It's going to be for all the press in the United States, representatives of all the press. They're going to do a teach-in. They're going to try to get them educated. The scientists are all going to be there, supposedly to educate them on exactly what's happening, what the truth is, what the facts are, and so on. Then they're going to have in November a campaign to inform the American public what's going on. I worry about that because you know how these little sound bites and these little ad spots are. I have a feeling that they're going to downplay this thing so much that people aren't going to really take it seriously. But here's the fact. If a pandemic happens, whether it happens tomorrow, next month, next year, or 3 years from now, we will have a pandemic. That's the first fact. You can count on it. If you're alive today and you're not terminally ill, you can count on seeing a pandemic in your lifetime, okay? But it's most likely to occur more earlier than later. The second fact is it does not come through in one wave. It comes through in either two or three waves. The last big one in 1918 took almost 3 years, they think, to complete itself, about 2.5 to 3 years. The second wave is the worst. The first comes through, and then it becomes a little bit more adapted to humans, and it's a little less lethal on the second wave, but the second wave comes through, and because it's more adapted, it goes through so many other bodies, and people die like crazy. And so we're looking at, in 1918, the newer figures point to something closer to 100 million people died at a time when we only had 1.6 billion people on the earth. Now we have 6.4 billion or 6.7 billion on the earth. So take those numbers. If you look at a 2.6 to 5% fatality ratio, if we were to have the same numbers today, we're looking at an infection rate of about 25%. We're looking at approximately 450 million people dying. Well, if you go to 15%, which is what many people said were the actual numbers in 1918, if you say 15% die, then you're looking at about a billion people dying around the world. Now, you know, those kinds of numbers are so mind-boggling. There are not enough caskets. There aren't even enough caskets in the world to handle 2 million deaths in the United States, which is what is expected here.
Well, I would suggest that our people go out and get a movie that was made in the past. It was called Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And certainly the man who produced that was Donald Francis. Dr. Donald Francis was the medical consultant, and someday I'll tell you my experience with Donald Francis. It's described in my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because he was with the CDC at the time and played an important part in the wonderful way we stopped the AIDS epidemic. Only 50 million people have, not only 20 million people have died so far, half a million here in the United States. But I share your concern, Jerry.
Sure.
I think that we face certainly very drastic times. In fact, my producer was just telling me that here in Santa Cruz, the children in our schools, the school departments have been told to have a three-day supply, tell the parents to have a three-day supply of food and supplies on hand. You know, we should all begin preparing. In fact, Maria Shriver, the governor's wife, is going on television saying,
good,
prepare for disaster. So what do they know? What are they preparing for? And the question is, if you're out there in the audience, are you really prepared for something disastrous to happen? People don't like to think about that, but
yeah.
I think that we really need to think about it. And, of course, one of the things is, Jerry, that you actually produce and offer seeds as a vehicle for means of growing your own food. Now, one of the things that Dr. Osterholm said in the Theoretical Journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is published by America's Invisible Government, that's Foreign Affairs Magazine, Dr. Osterholm said that there would be a breakdown in food supplies. And this is one of the things I thought was so interesting. This is the most prestigious journal in America. It is circulated among the people in the ruling class. And there were three articles, not one, but in the July-August issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, three articles pointing out you better start preparing for difficult times. That was a general theme. It's not a matter of if or when. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but this is what they're trying to convince us, and maybe they know something that you and I don't know. So what should people be doing to prepare?
Sure. Okay. First of all, it's critical that you have in your home a minimum, and you're going to be shocked by this, a minimum of 3 months' food supplies. And preferably something that you could take with you if you had to leave. But probably you're going to be told to self-quarantine. You're going to be told to stay indoors. Hospitals are going to close within a few days. We just don't have the mechanical ventilators, only 405,000 in the entire United States. We need millions and millions of them. We don't have them. We don't even have factories to make them fast enough. So forget about it. The only way you're going to be able to live if you don't have it and have recovered, about 55% are dying at this point from H5N1. All right, so you're going to have to be able to stay indoors for long periods of time if it hits your community. Now, the president is saying he's wanting to have the powers, Congress to give him the powers, to try to quarantine whole regions of the United States. Now, you know what that means. Close down the highways. Close down the airports, close down the ports, close down everything in a region of the United States. Well, we are, Stan, 100% dependent upon our highways, our boats, our planes, and so on to bring food in. Grocery stores don't have it. We don't even have enough food supplies in the country to do this kind of stocking up. So we need to now begin to create the demand by putting food into our houses at least 3 months. And then, if you look at the dominoes falling and say, all right, if this thing becomes real, we're going to look at 18 months, 2 years, up to 3 years before all three waves go through. Now, nobody wants to think about being indoors with your toddlers and your grandkids and your dogs and your cats for that length of time. But the reality is, if you are prepared for something that may be literally the doomsday bug or any other catastrophe, at least you have the ability to make that decision and keep in mind that when you don't have international trade happening, and New Zealand just announced today that it's ready now to close its borders. Don't forget how close it is to Indonesia. New Zealand is self-reliant. It's a self-sufficient nation, supposedly. So they're looking at closing everything. If you close ports and you close shipping because of either infections, deaths, or fear of spreading this thing, we don't get any oil. We don't get the electricity. The refineries don't run. We already have refinery problems, terrific oil problems and refinery problems. That means you don't run agriculture because our agriculture is 100% dependent on oil. And we told people way back when that if ever refineries went down, and fuel was in jeopardy, that you can forget about food supply because it's 100% dependent. Even the genetic engineering is dependent on plastics and chemicals and so on. So we have been trying to get the message out now. For 3 years I've been talking about avian influenza, trying to tell folks, if you know how to garden, plan on gardening and doubling or tripling the size of it this year. Get yourselves non-hybrid seeds. To tell you the truth, Stan, I don't care where you get them from. I mean, yes, I offer them. We offer them at the Ark Institute. We have for years. But we believe so sincerely that folks can be in trouble. This country is going to be in trouble because it cannot even manufacture its own seeds without these systems up. And across this country, in the hands of maybe 50, 60,000 people, they have collections of the Ark Institute's non-hybrid seeds. Those are the ones that grow year after year. You just save, just like your ancestors did. You know, harvest a seed out of a tomato, plant them, you've got tomatoes forever. So harvest the peppers, you've got peppers forever. And corn, you've got corns forever. Not like the commercial genetically modified seeds. Why is it so important now? It's been important because the seeds are disappearing. Those kinds of seeds are disappearing. It's important because it is dependent on oil. And now it's even more important because not only are the normal financial collapse scenarios developing around the world, but we also have added to this horrendous mix the potential for avian influenza to rear its ugly head as a human-to-human, and we already have it, but in small clusters of humans, it is going human-to-human. If the final mutations occur, this thing can go like wildfire around the globe three times, as 1918 to 19. It's going to go around the globe, and it can kill off hundreds of millions, even up to a billion, if the fatality doesn't come down way, way down from where it is now.
Well, it's so interesting that you're beginning to see these figures being quoted by people in key positions in government. You have to ask yourself, what is this really all about? Why are they doing what they're doing? And, of course, why are they experimenting with this? And in some instances, we have articles just came out within the last 48 hours, they're actually trying to make some of these viruses more virulent.
Well, they're trying to figure out which of the mutations are the ones that made it so bad. And so by placing one in at a time, you can use chemical scissors to take one out, put it in at a time. They're trying to figure this out. Now, it's very scary to me, too, that they're experimenting with them, but they're hoping to jump the gun. Now, you look at what position these folks in power would be in if everybody around the globe died, obviously. They'd be up the creek without a paddle because they don't know how to refine oil. They don't know how to do a whole lot of things.
Well, I think I would point out to our listeners that for 30 years we have not put a new refinery in the United States. Why would you do something that ridiculous? In fact, we only have about between half and two-thirds of the refineries today that we had 30 years ago.
Right.
Why would the richest country in the world not have refineries? Why would countries with such vast oil and gas resources as we have here in the United States, if you doubt that, you need to hear some of the interviews we've had or get our new newsletter. We'll be going to the background of the truth about the so-called oil shortage. Why would we have put ourselves into such a vulnerable position unless there is another agenda behind what's going on today? Jerry, how can people get in touch with the Ark Institute and get your information, not only your seeds, but the book that you actually have on gardening and, of course, on saving seeds?
Right. Okay. We have the collection of the non-hybrid heirlooms, which God knows how long they're going to be available, Stan. They may not be available for much longer, but they can reach us at 1-800-255-1912. Seed Sowing and Saving is a book that teaches you how to save your seed from your own fruits and vegetables, from your garden fruits like cantaloupe and so on, and peppers and tomatoes and all of that. It's very easy. It's user-friendly. We used to carry one a little more technical. People didn't care for it as much. This one everybody raves about. So Seed Sowing and Saving. 1-800-255-1912. The other thing I'd like
now, what about your website?
Okay, Jeff? Sure. I'm sorry. It's www.ark, A-R-K. It's a botanical Noah's Ark, arkinstitute.com. Folks misspell institute, I-N-S-T-I-T-U-T-E.
arkinstitute.com, right.
.com, correct. Now, the other book I'd like to bring your attention to is Country Wisdom and Know-How. My gosh, this book weighs close to 2 pounds. It is a huge book. And you know what it is? It's a compilation of all of the little farming pamphlets and home self-sufficiency pamphlets ever produced by the publisher Story. If you were around as long as I was around, I did my first garden in 1970 on Earth Day, way back when. Okay, I've been collecting those pamphlets for that many years, how to raise a goat, how to make cheese at home, how to make wine, how to make this, how to make that, how to grow tomatoes, how to grow peppers. They took every single pamphlet, hundreds of them, and they incorporated them all into this, and then some. How to make soap, how to do everything. My recommendation, and it's inexpensive, I think it's $19.95, $20. My suggestion to you would be to get a hold of that book, to get a hold of Seed Sowing and Saving, and then there's another one called A to Z Guide for Organic Growing Organic Food, because this is what I'm telling you is going to happen. We are going to lose our oil, and when we lose our oil, we're going to lose herbicides, pesticides, all of the chemicals, fertilizers from gas, all of that has the potential to become so exceedingly expensive or disappear. If you never wanted to organic garden before, it's really important that you learn how to organic garden for your own sake, and that you buy from whichever source non-hybrid seeds.
Okay, what was the name of the second book?
Okay, Country Living and Know-How. Country Living and Know-How.
Country Living and Know-How,
yes. And the other one, Seed Sowing and Saving. And the seeds, 1-800-255-1912, ARK, ARKinstitute.com.
Okay, God bless you, Jerry. We'll be talking to you later. Thanks so very much.
Sure.
And Jerry certainly helps to support Radio Liberty and her products. We believe that they're very, very good. See, one of a kind. We'll be back in just a moment here to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV. More.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we live in very, very uncertain times. If you'd like to know the truth about the oil shortage and why we're really having oil prices go up as they are, that's, of course, our September newsletter. It will be available in about 2 weeks. But if you'd like to, you can call and ask for a copy, or, of course, if you have access to the Internet, why you can go up in about 2 weeks to RadioLiberty.com and pull down my newsletter on the oil shortage. And then, of course, we're going to be putting together a four-tape set that's going to give you an entirely different perspective of what's going on, because if you wanted to destroy a great nation, you couldn't do a better job than they're doing, and they're doing it for a very specific purpose. Now, there is an organized plan to impoverish the American people. If you doubt that, you need to, of course, get a copy of the Earth Charter and read point number 10, which talks about redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations. Redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations. Why would you want to redistribute wealth between nations? Why, to level the people, to get the living standards here in America, raise it up to that of the Mexican peasant, and you say that's crazy talk. And yet that is the master plan. It's part of the new Ten Commandments, written by a man named Mikhail Gorbachev, former dictator of Russia, a Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire who until recently was the number two man in the United Nations. He was really the number one man, but Kofi Annan was out in head. And then, of course, Stephen Rockefeller of the Rockefeller family, which really has trillions of dollars. If you really believe that Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the richest people in the United States, you've been watching too much television and reading too many news magazines. So the truth of the matter is there really is a master plan. If you've never read the Earth Charter, it's available on the Internet, or we'll be glad to send you a free copy of it. It is, according to Mikhail Gorbachev, that great American patriot, and Marie Strong, that great Canadian patriot, it is the new Ten Commandments for the world. They keep it in something called the Ark of Hope. It is the Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. They know exactly what they're doing. They realize, of course, the American people will never suspect until it's too late. You need to get, of course, our Sustainable Development Syllabus, which gives you the master plan, includes the Earth Charter, and, of course, there's a four-tape set on sustainable development, there's a video on sustainable development, and it is all satanic. This is what it's about. You need to get the book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. You need to get our four-tape set on Satanism and Deliverance. You need to get our four-tape set on Aleister Crowley. You need to get the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get the videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. Again, let me mention, of course, our Sustainable Development Syllabus, which contains the Earth Charter and the Master Plan, along with so much other information you'll never get any place, but you really should get the video that goes along with that. And then, of course, on Sustainable Development, the Road to World Government. And this is all has to do with creating a one-world government, the destruction of America, and, of course, the destruction of Christianity. And then of course, you want to get Aleister Crowley and his friends, a four-tape set. You want to get the book entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil. You want to get the videos, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. I will tell you, you've never seen anything like it before, the 3-hour, the 4-hour. But if you can get the 10-hour version and watch it, you'll never look at the world with the same eyes again and understand the same forces are working within the music industry that are working at the highest echelons of our government and the United Nations today. And then the videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. If you want to understand what we're talking about with the flu and influenza and avian epidemic, you need to get our new DVD and or video. And it's just available a couple of weeks now. It's called Planned Population Reduction. They really do plan to kill off most of the people in the world. You see, that's crazy talk. Well, we're not dealing with rational people, ladies and gentlemen. We're having our seminar here, remember, on the 19th of November all day. We hope you can come. If you need a Berkey, why, you can get the big Berkey or Berkey Light from us, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty.